Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
But fuck all that, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's get to the guest today. Whatever. Yes. It's just a chaos-filled episode. Allow me to bring in the advice king, the Mr. Cold Brew got me like, the foremost, I don't know, expert on YouTube and everything esoteric, I feel like. You know what I mean? And also, are you running for office? Do I have that right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Am, baby. We'll bring it in. Local politician, Chris Crofton!
Ooh. Oh, what's up? You think I'm going to be crazy today? You're wrong. I'm a politician mm-hmm. now.
That's right.
I'm going to be totally normal used against talk me. About both sides.
The sanest
Wait,
career.
What
Wait,
about
Chris,
both sides?
Chris, since last you were on, I've seen that you were filing the relevant documents to run yes. for office locally in Nashville.
Yes. Yes. So I moved back to Nashville at like the end of September, and I went. Well, I was here. And then I live in Madison. No,
how did you get there? That is what we're all wondering. There? What
it's
was
already,
the transportation?
This is already going to be a there. Very boring segment. The audience is like, oh, man, I was hoping he was going to talk about metal detecting again. So I moved to Madison, which is like where it's all vape shops and payday loan places, you know. And so it's mm-hmm. not new Nashville. So it's like this new Nashville, you know, everybody's like, wee, you know, it's the lollipop forest and all that shit. So I moved to this part of town where the roads are all, well, like wagon tracks.
Right.
I said wagon tracks. I went down to the city council and I said wagon tracks to him like four times, real loud. And so anyway, the roads
not
here.
Not a chant, by the way. I think that's, there's
Hi,
a
sir,
big...
can we help you? Wagon tracks, wagon
the
tracks.
The roads here are trashed, right? So the roads here are trashed. Mm-hmm. It's like a bunch, there's no public transportation of any note. It's humiliating to wait for the bus. You just stand in like some weeds. It's fucking horrible. So we got one neighborhood up here that's like 4 feet out of Lollipop Town. This right. new Nashville, you know, I'm up from Nashville. I'm like 10 minutes up the road, you know, and right. this is much more real in the sense of it's much more poor.
Right.
And, you know, real meaning like
just working class people.
I mean, real yeah. meaning you don't like it. You know what I mean? Like real is supposed to be, you know, it's I like it because it reminds me of old Nashville before
right.
it had like hot and cold running like micro brews or whatever the fuck. And anyway, so I'm like up here and I'm like, okay, the roads here are trashed. There's a homeless encampment in the woods. There's like, and then there's just Nashville, like, which is just booming with, and they're just keep putting up these luxury hotels and things. So I was like, so the big thing was they said the Titans, of course, threatened to leave if they don't get a new stadium, which is what NFL teams do, you know,
right.
and nobody can say no to them because like, you know, because
they'll go to Vegas or something. Yeah.
They'll go crazy. Yeah. Like the whole world will go crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, you can't say no to the Titans, but I also think you should say no to the Titans when they do this to you, which is they ask for a new stadium and they cut a deal where we give Nashville, the city, gives like $700 million to the stadium, but it's even more than that. But there's like $700 million in tax dollars
right.
going to the NFL.
Yeah.
When we got people full of kratom standing in the weeds waiting for the bus that comes erratically. Like there's traffic here. This place, I used to live here when it was empty and I don't expect it to be empty. Like when I moved here in 2001, there was nobody here. And I understand that's not sustainable, but right. I liked it because you could just go around and rock them. You know, you could just, I had my band and you just pay your $200 a month rent. You get drunk and you tell everybody what's what. That's right. A great town to me.
That is a good town. Yeah.
But that, you know, that's not, and you know, people eventually will catch on to the rent being like $200 and then people come here.
Right.
So like growth is fine, but like we just have.
But yeah. Let's have the wealth distributed properly. So everybody is benefiting from it. Right. Right.
What yes, Miles was saying, trickle down the wealth, I think is what Miles.
Yeah.
Was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. We need to give more money to the people at the top because it's not yes. falling down fast enough.
Thank
yeah.
you.
So
more gravity up top. Yeah, it'll come
just
down
are
faster.
Not stacking enough money at the top because it will not come down.
You get right. it.
It's like right. one of those machines at the gas station where they have like the pennies. You know, that
I thought
like
you were going to say you push if you push harder on the gas pump lever, more gas comes out faster.
Yeah, it's like
that's
the gas
another
station.
Platform.
Yeah, it's yeah. like yeah, it's like if you don't squeeze hard enough at the gas station, it's the same mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. So
thank you.
So anyway, I went down to the stadium hearing and I don't know if you guys have heard the audio from it. I have it, you know, you can hear it. I just
yeah,
I just
hear that.
I could play it. I don't it's 2 minutes long, but it's me yelling at not yelling, because I'm running for real. That's one thing. I'm running for Metro Council mm-hmm. at large is mm-hmm. the office, meaning it's not tied to a particular district. So I'm right. running at large all of Davidson County. There's 5 selected. There's 21 people running. And I'm not doing this as a stunt. And I went down to the stadium and I thought I was going to wait to watch this proceedings. They were deciding whether to approve the stadium and the stadium deal. Mm-hmm. And it was already done. Like the activists had to get. Like had to be activists just to get a hearing. But then the right. hearing was like, everybody just sort of like, I can't even, it's too long a story, but one side of the hall was people wearing loafers, Gucci loafers with no socks for real. And the mm-hmm. other side was like all black. I mean, it was like white and black. It was, mm-hmm. was not that extreme, but it was like the white people in the fleece vests
right.
and the fucking loafers with no socks just got up and said, we want a stadium because it's fun and we can smoke cigars in it. And then a bunch of people of color, teachers, like regular people got up and made good points and they sided with the guys who want to smoke cigars.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
And it was to see that if it was not, it would have made me mad if there wasn't taxpayer money involved.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Just the attitude. But the fact that they mm-hmm. were giving away tax money. And it was like very stark because I don't know why there was like weird intimidation things happening. The reason I know why you could tell the difference in color between the people who are pro stadium and anti stadium is because they divided us when we got there. You had to get in a line that yeah, said pro and a line that said against, which I already thought was weird. But I got up and I didn't even thought they said, well, you can't go in to sit because the Titans already paid a ton of people to be here and they all filled the place already. They had a picnic. The Titans had a picnic for people in the afternoon. To be
well,
there.
That's how you warm up for activism is with a light hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, well, it was a weekday, so it was whoever got there first got to speak for 2 hours. So the pro stadium people got 2 hours, and then a bunch of people, anti stadium people had like kids and stuff. Regular people had to go right. home.
Yeah.
So anyway, I got in there and I realized they were going to pass it. So I just said, this is socialism, not because I hate socialism. Of course, the first person that came at me was a liberal saying, why do you got to put down socialism? And I was like, I'm not putting down socialism. I'm saying socialism to these people because they think
corporate
it's
welfare.
Peak capitalism. Yeah. They think it's peak capitalism because NFL is involved. So they're like, NFL is capitalism, but you're giving them taxpayer money. Doesn't matter. NFL, you know? And so I was just there to say, I said it was like putting up a gold statue of Stalin. I said crazy shit because I wanted to say stuff in that chamber that they had not heard.
Yeah.
But I mainly got to say, this is corruption and you guys know it. And it felt so good because when I do stand up, all I do is complain about corruption.
Yeah.
Well, not all. And I also sure. do jokes about how people who smoke pot have mustard on their pants. But they, but you know, I
got to soften. True.
Yeah, you got to do something. Bits, you yeah. can't just get up yeah. there and talk about the division of wealth. But anyway, so it was like it was an amazing moment for me because I realized, oh, wait, this is like doing stand up, but for people who don't want to hear it. Like, Well, that's not that different either. Sure. So, like, I know it's not identical. That different. But saying this stuff about, you know, corruption to people who are actually doing the corruption felt good. And so then I thought, well, I should run for office. And then, I mean, the amount of support I've had has been just absolutely amazing. People have been like, yes. So we'll see. Well, hey, I just want to be a nice guy.
Yeah. And look, hey, for those of you that are able, you know, check out Chris Crofton's campaign running for the at-large district. Okay.
Metro Council at-large, Nashville, Tennessee. You can go to Vote Blue, and I'm raising money there. I haven't got my account all the way set up. So, you know, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there for a little while. Go there in a couple of days.
Okay.
But I'm not kidding. Vote Blue.
Yeah. When you launch your fundraising arm.
What is something from your search history?
Search history, a cheap gift. My wife's birthday is this week. No, the actual is Randy Johnson Kills Bird was what it was, because I think maybe it was over the weekend. Randy Johnson, by the way, famous. I'm picking up on Jack's cue that I was talking about obscure Philadelphia sports stuff, and Jack had to keep jumping in explaining what the fuck I was talking about. So I'll just do it myself. Randy Johnson was a Hall of Fame pitcher. And this seems mathematically impossible, but one time he was pitching and he threw the pitch to the plate, and then a bird flew in the path of the pitch, and the bird, I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if it survived.
It exploded.
It exploded.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
It
was decimated.
A bird is flying, and then there is just a cloud of feathers, and that's it.
It was stunning. And then it happened again over the weekend, where in warmups, there was a pitcher for the same team that Randy Johnson played for, the Arizona Diamondbacks, was warming up. And his pitch, by the way, this is all accident. These people aren't birders.
Right, right.
And they...
Those bloodthirsty motherfuckers.
Fucking fat... there was foul play, but I do need to go. But no, they hit...
I probably should be leaving, actually.
I'm feeling faint. But yeah, another pitcher hit foul a bird play. With a pitch over the weekend.
Over the weekend, yeah.
Over the weekend.
Was it as cool?
Sort of stuff I watch.
Same kind of image?
It was... not as cool. I know you love that bird exploding sort of thing, Jack. You don't know
what
you like to get your money's worth.
Yeah.
But no, this shot, it wasn't nearly as good. Comedy. It was out in the outfield. It was warming up. So, you know, yeah, he didn't put much behind it, but it did kill the bird.
Also, in the Cleveland Guardians, the Cleveland Guardians White Sox game, a bird also got fucked up by like a ground ball, like the same over the weekend too. I mean, yeah, Randy Johnson, known as the big unit. You can imagine what kind of heat was coming off that arm. Now he's just he's just like a hobby photographer.
Incredible.
Yeah, he seemed like he would just disappear into the desert once he retired.
He goes to he takes sports photos. Like you see him in the background of football games and shit, on the field, with, a telephoto lens. He's like, I'm just really into photography now.
He gets the best shots because he's 6'11".
Yeah, right. He's out here. He just loves looking at things through the lens, you know? That's taking really cool concert photos. Anyway, it's always fun to see. He's like, I think he got into it in college or something, and that's how it just and I just kept it going after that.
That's cool.
What is something that you think is overrated?
Besides sandwiches?
Yes.
Wow.
Quitting Twitter and indignation. Overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why?
Yeah.
Because no one notices when you stop doing something. No one.
Right.
No one notices. Yeah. And every social media platform sucks in its own special way. Elon obviously extra sucks, which I guess we're going to be talking about. But no one notices when you stop doing something. I've seen a specific news organization that I may or may not have a loose affiliation with, you know, quit in a very public way. My news outlet did too. And I, you know, they didn't make us quit, you know, or the reporters of that news organization quit. But I'm like, what an opportunity you had when you're actually being talked about to do something else with this besides just stop doing anything.
Right.
And now, you're not doing anything with it. You could have raised money. You could have, taught people what journalism is. But, when you're not doing anything, nobody notices you're not doing anything. So I just think that there's, taking your toy. Remember what happened with Reddit, a bunch of years ago? What happened with that? Nothing. Nothing happened with that. So I don't know. I just think that there's some A little bit of just like virtue signaling, nothing burgerness and quitting Twitter and indignation right now. I mean, maybe someday it will be important, but to me, it's a little bit overrated.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if either one of you did that and I just like.
I post like 12 to 13 times a day about how I'm quitting Twitter.
Yeah.
Each post is like, that's it. You've done it this time, Musk. But I guess the fact that I've been doing that for 3 months now, probably.
I'll never quit because I never thought I would have this many followers and I like to look at the number. So why would I do that now?
I'm
at the top
of
my game.
That's true.
And may I say to the followers, you guys stop quitting because it's making our number go down.
What the fuck?
That makes us sad.
You're burning me. You burned me, listeners who quit Twitter. My number went down.
Like, Jack, I was looking at your follower number. You're like about twice as many as me. Like, I could fill like a small college football stadium. You could fill like a big college football stadium. Like, you couldn't like show up somewhere and like 45,000 people would show up, right?
Right.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. And they're all very loyal, too.
And they're all real. I check in 100% with them on a daily basis.
they're huge
are bots.
Fans of mine.
Yeah.
None of them are bots, and they're all real. Love me. Yeah. They love me like family members. I have a 45,000 person family.
They're all going to hang out flags in front of their house after they graduate you.
It's weird how I can get 12,000 of them to say the exact same thing to me at the same time.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's how on the same page they are.
Wait, and then sandwiches are overrated? You just kind of skip past that.
Yeah, sandwiches are overrated.
To bury the lead.
Yeah.
All sandwiches.
Well, not grilled cheese. Obviously.
Whoa. Okay. I like
obviously not one of the three most popular sandwiches.
The world's greatest hangover food is obviously not overrated.
Okay.
But yeah, I've never understood like the obsession with sandwiches. I know people love sandwiches. For me personally.
Sure. No, I get it.
I'm not like
It's like the mania, like sandwich mania that's overrated, or you're just
sandwiches.
Saying, like,
I don't understand sandwich. Like when people are like, oh, we're going to bring in lunch for this meeting. We're bringing in sandwiches. And everyone's like, yeah. And I'm like,
yes!
Fuck, what do you mean?
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Pizza. Yeah. Sandwiches. No. Like it's just the stuff in the middle is the good part. And like, I have to get through the shit on the outside to get the stuff in the middle.
Oh, you're almost like Trump with pizza. You're like, nah, not the bread. It's just the top part. Just need that part. Scrape it off. Just give me
Thank
the
you. Thank you for that very complimentary comparison. I really appreciate it.
I get the sort of singular focus, though, of just sort of like, nah, that's filler. You don't want that. You want the meats and the cheeses right there. That's the money.
I'm not like a huge bread person. I mean, I'm not like anti-carbs. I fucking love carbs, but I'm not like one of people who's like, I love bread.
Right.
And then people are always like, you'll love it if you have the bread I make. And then I'm like, no, I fucking won't. Like, I don't really. It's Telling like, you. it's just bread. It's just like, it's not that special.
No.
That's just not my opinion. Bread. It's my opinion. Not everybody agrees. It's okay. I have had great bread. Don't get me wrong. There is bread that's better than other bread. I agree with that.
There's this thing they have out here in LA called sliced bread where they
It's not just one big hunk.
It's really the greatest thing.
Does it come out of a stone oven? It's not artisanal. Is that what you're saying?
Wonder. That's it. That's good stuff. Have you tried Wonder?
The stuff. Sliced bread gets so much credit from people all the time.
Have you seen like those clips when like Americans are amazed at like the bread slicers in Europe? Like when you go to a store and like, oh, there's like, I've just seen a genre video of like Americans whose minds are blown buying like a loaf of bread at a European grocery store that like you can then take to a machine that just like slices it fresh.
Like the coffee grinder?
I was just going to say like the coffee grinder.
Yeah, you just load it in. It might be in Germany or something like that. And it just like cleanly just slices it up. So you have like good, like your loaf is actually as fresh as possible or whatever. And they're like,
wow,
it just slices it right here. And I'm like, and I watch it too. I'm like, come on, man, act like you're, I'm like, it just slices it right there.
Have some chill, for God's sake. It's so embarrassing. Yeah.
Act like you've been here.
That shit does make it, like grinding your coffee beans right before you brew the coffee really does make a difference. I want a unsliced Wonder Bread loaf. is that something they even sell?
No, thank you. I'll take it home. Just Yeah, with your bread knife, just doing the most uneven slices of Wonder Bread.
You ever tried to cut Wonder Bread or like with a knife?
Yeah.
You can't do it. It's terrible. Just like, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need like
it's honestly, a non-Newtonian substance. It's neither air, it's neither gas nor solid nor liquid.
Yeah.
The knife doesn't know what to do with it. You know, what is something 1%? You think is underrated?
Magnesium glycinate for sleeping.
That is so specific.
Go on. Magnesium, sorry, what? Glycinate?
Magnesium glycinate specifically. Magnesium comes in different forms. You can get a bunch of different little endings. The glycinate one for sleeping in particular.
Magnesium, when the number one autocomplete for magnesium space in Google is glycinate. So it is us who are wrong.
Followed by magnesium and cheese, which is funny.
So you kind of mag and cheese. It. Yeah, you get a little nice mag and cheese.
Wait, so where did you hear about it? What is it for helping? Is it like a sleep aid or what's going on?
It is a sleep aid. I heard about it from the journal, the very scientific journal that I always consume, TikTok.
Uh-huh.
And it helps you sleep, but it doesn't help you get to sleep. It helps you get into a deeper sleep once you are asleep. So my whole life, I was like, I don't really dream that often. I'll like have dreams sometimes, but like not super often, maybe once every couple weeks. Turns out I'm just not getting into REM sleep where dreams happen enough or staying in REM sleep long enough. And magnesium glycinate allows me to stay into REM sleep for a long time. So once I started taking it, I started having these really intense dreams that I thought were like hallucinations. Turns out that's normal and everybody has them. I just wasn't dreaming like that before because I wasn't sleeping like that. So
describe one of your dreams. It's like very normal. Like, okay, I had this one. I had to give a speech at school. And
what was I doing? No, it's nothing like that. I had a dream. Oh my God. Okay. I had a dream that one of my friends who had just gone to Europe for his birthday for a month, I was watching his location on Find My Friends, and I told him to come to where I was. And so I'm watching him cross like the boot of Italy on some it's so random, on some bridge. Right. He's going through the boot of Italy to get to me somewhere also in Europe. And it's like dark out. There's like a lot of stars around. I'm with some person. I don't know who they are. Stuff like that. Very just super random, but very vivid dreams.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna have to look into that.
Yeah. We're big dream heads on this podcast. I feel like there are insights in there if you just like, you know, keep track of them and like don't be too specific. Don't be like, oh, so I'm going to see my friend on a bridge on the boot. But like there's, you know, I think there's power there coming from the unconscious part of our minds that
I agree.
Yeah. I think that's the most powerful thing that humans have access to if you know how to use it. So that's cool. Magnesium glycinate will get you dreaming.
I'll combine that with my THC indica things that I'll take. That'll always do it.
Now that's the thing. I'm scared of forming a dependency, so I won't do it more than two nights in a row. Nights I'll do my magnesium, but yes, definitely felt.
Now the combo. Get
the
out
combo
the way.
Doesn't
combination
do anything.
Made my eyes bleed.
Yeah,
the combination made my eyes bleed. Yes, thank you, Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything. I'm like, oh, this is like anticlimactic.
Yeah, magnesium glycinate and THC. The combination made my eyes bleed. Yeah.
Now, I am not a doctor, so take this for what it's worth.
But you are someone who's TikTok. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Naturally.
Yeah.
An ashwagandha supplement plus magnesium glycinate plus a little THC will actually have you in a stupor. You might not wake up from that. I don't know.
Well, I'm seeing already, like, people are talking about combining ashwagandha and magnesium glycinate. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Okay. All
right. Mm-hmm. Well, so it's a little crazy.
Let us know. Let us know if that's how you get down, Zyking.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about Nikki Haley. We'll be right back.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And Harlan Crow is just a regular old guy, and everybody needs to cool it.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you have to say anything more than that?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't familiar with Harlan Crow before all of this controversy, so I was shocked that he apparently had a stan in this, like, Graham Wood guy who was just like, oh, I've been into this dude, and he's just a regular dude. You know, like all of our grandpas, he's, like, funding a Supreme Court judge. You know, just a regular old dude.
And
just
who knows, like, all of them. This is shit he's been caught for. You know what I mean? Like,
how else would you unburden yourself with generations of inherited wealth was one of the things that this writer wrote.
He's not buying Nazi crap. He's unburdening himself with this wealth by buying historical relics. That's all it is.
And if you're gonna buy historical relics, why would it be of, say, the country you live in or maybe something related? Why wouldn't it be Nazis?
Yeah,
it's gotta be. It's gotta be.
Cool, man.
Here's the thing you got to understand about white.
There's so much history there.
The article goes in on, you're like, huh?
Yeah. But so the first, like, as people were, you know, as the ProPublica series was being published, The Atlantic came out with this article that made headlines because the author was like, anyone who calls him a Nazi for collecting Nazi paraphernalia is an idiot. And I think we all know that, right?
Like, the last line
smart
was,
people can all agree.
His last line of, like, the article was something to the effect of, like, Harlan Crow's friends know that he's not a Nazi.
Right.
And it's like, but, and those that don't, of course they jump to that because they're not smart like his friends. And you're like,
Right.
What?
Because America is a meritocracy and we can all just agree on that and move on. But as we talked about the last time we covered this, the guy Graham Wood is a, like, as he mentioned in the first article, like, grew up in the same town as Harlan Crow in, like, Dallas, and would, like, run past his compound and, like, peer through the gates and, like, wonder what was so he is like a lifelong fan of this billionaire,
or
and,
at least,
like,
his property.
Yeah, his property, his mystique.
Yeah.
You know.
So he's always wanted to just get in there. He's been looking for this opportunity to,
you know, we all peek over the fence of a villain's mansion and go, maybe me someday.
I wish I could hang out in there and enjoy some canapes. Yeah.
Let me tell you, favorite pastime of black and brown people in the U.S., peering over somebody's fence that you don't live there.
It
always ends properly. And to the point where I've never done that shit in my life. But anyway, this piece, though, the first piece got Harlan Crow's attention. And he was like, oh, shit, this, okay, this guy's coming up.
I have a fan.
Standing up for me. I
fuck with this Graham
Wood
guy.
He wants to see my Nazi memorabilia? Yeah. Like, totally come on over.
So, guess who got a personal invitation to Harlan Crowe's fucking sculpture garden? None other than Graham Wood. And apparently up top, he's like, look, man, I'm not going to talk about this Clarence Thomas shit. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. Obviously, my guy. That's not even important to me. What I'm trying to do is humanize you. And this whole thing, it's about as predictably like a puff piece as you can imagine. Like, it's filled with some really dumb equivocations. There's one part where Harlan Crowe's like, I wouldn't be mad if, like, let's say George Soros was friends with, like, the head of the World Bank. And you're like, oh, y'all, you really screamed that dog whistle into the mic. Okay. And let's not pretend like a Supreme Court justice is some kind of rabid capitalist business person. But I guess maybe that's what is being revealed, is that these people are not really here to adjudicate fairly, that they're ideological pieces that can be manipulated by people like Harlan Crowe. But again, I think overall this piece is just a really, really cool moment where this journalist completely misses the point in order to like curry favor with a billionaire that he like admires, and tries to pretend as if his ties to Clarence Thomas aren't deeply problematic. He's like, of course you should disclose that stuff. Obviously, I'm saying that. He's like, what was the fucking problem if he bought his mom's house and she lives there rent-free? Or paid his nephew's tuition?
Yeah, Harlan's just a good dude. He's always just helping people who happen to be on the Supreme Court. Okay?
Yeah.
Always. Like,
he knows where to put his money. The title of the piece is called The Collector.
Right.
Because you're like, wow, great. I love that.
They just wave off the collecting Nazi memorabilia so easily. Like, just, it's not like collecting lucky pennies, okay? Like, in Germany, people aren't allowed to collect Nazi memorabilia. I studied German history and I have no interest in collecting like Nazi memorabilia. Like, what?
It's just so fascinating that some of the three leaders during World War II were all artists. I just think there's a fun story there. That's what he says about buying Hitler's paintings.
That's just a fun story.
He said there's a fun story there. Like, okay.
What's the fun?
I mean, I think
this is where I'm like, dig in. Let's ask some more questions.
I think at best, right, he's so disconnected from what it means to collect Nazi shit that he really doesn't see an issue. Because like, oh, like, I'm not affected by white supremacy or hate, like, in ways like that. Plus, my money insulates me from that kind of reality. So I truly look at it as buying, like, old shit. Not even that I don't, like, I like it. I'm just like, I can afford it.
It's a fun story.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. Hitler wasn't that scary. Even when I think of myself, I probably would have been fine during the Third Reich. So.
Yeah. So, you know, what are we afraid of here?
Yeah. What's the issue? But yeah, like, there's another part, though, too, where, like, Graham Wood really wants to underline Crowe's, like, never Trump, like, bona fides, where he's like, man, like, he hates Trump, though. Like, he hates him. So, like, huh? Like, it's just kind of, like, out of nowhere just saying that. Like, so that's got to count for something. It's like, but at the end of the day, he is so invested in the conservative, like, legal movement that, like, what? I don't understand why you think that one is different from the other. Because they're both, like, trains that are moving in the exact same direction.
Yeah, one is impolite and draws attention to itself, which is against the rules, especially for people who are part of, you know, the tradition of collecting and protecting generational wealth.
Yeah.
You know, so Trump is bad for those people.
There was another good quote that was saying how Harlan Crowe, like, actually, he doesn't feel powerful at all. He doesn't get why. He's like, I'm actually not that powerful.
I'm a little baby.
Yeah. He's like, I'm widow and weak. He's like, that's Joe. Okay. He's like, they even, like, in the thing, they're saying, even President Biden has said, he's like, how? He's like, you think you're going to be calling the shots? He's like, I take more orders now as president than I ever thought I would. As like a, as no a way shit. To be like,
yeah,
because you don't know where you are, Holmes. That's why. Hey, go
because
over
you're
there,
part of a Democratic
there.
Party that is fucking tied irrevocably to massive billionaires like this asshole.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it just, like, it's fun to, like, paint it as, like, he doesn't even think he himself thinks he's weak. So it's okay. Like,
yeah, it's totally fine if I'm not actually, because I don't think I have the power. Like, sometimes I call Clarence Thomas and he doesn't even call me back until like 15 minutes later. Yeah. I'm very, very weak. Okay?
Those 15 minutes, they feel like an hour. I gotta tell you, man.
And I've told my woke granddaughter who just got back from liberal arts college, I've been ghosted too. Okay. By Clarence. It's tough out here.
It's hard.
For a Billy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, it's more predictable, like, nonsense. I don't know why they're all in on this, like, campaign to, like, try and defend Harlan Crow, or like what the editors at the Atlantic are like, oh, you got another Harlan Crow piece? Yeah, load it up in the hop. But again, at the end
of
the day,
let's go.
It's truly to be
that's
like
what the kids say, right? Let's go. Yeah.
Let's go.
Fucking go.
The Atlantic offices.
He's like, yo, let's Graham. Go.
Like, yeah, Harlan
spraying
Crow.
LaCroix all over
this
each
one.
Other.
It's different. Yeah. My God, bro, this one's busting. You didn't tell me about this. I actually believe he's a normal guy. But yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it just shows legacy media is still there. They're still entrenched in the billionaire culture. Yeah. So they're not about to point fingers and shit.
No.
Yeah, this guy, by the way, graduated from Harvard and currently is also a lecturer in political science at Yale University. So
he's really in touch with the people.
The mainstream media, Ivy League, like that whole insular circle of people just cranking each other off and being like, we all get it, right? Like we can't tell the truth here, right? We know that there's an order to things, if you know what I'm saying. And it like ultimately comes down to fucking eugenics and being fascists, like being wealth fascists, essentially.
I wonder if they like, I can imagine they listen to Run the World by Beyonce. And they go, like, who run the world? They're like, us. Like,
us.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. We love us. This one.
Yeah. 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 Like, Harlan Crow is definitely like on his little stationary bike pumping that in his ears. Absolutely.
With, like a headband. Or he's on one of those exercise bikes that has the
arm
movement.
Yeah, with the little arms.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got the old timey like workout equipment from Nazi Germany. That's like a jiggle belt that like jiggles your belly until it's supposed to just like make the belt like, fat melt off.
He's like, this is my gold kettlebell. It's from stolen teeth from, never mind. Don't worry about it. Anyway, it weighs a ton though.
All right. Well, let's talk about Elon real quick.
Oh, my God.
Did a CNBC interview at the end of last week. And, you know, what we've seen from his Twitter persona appears to have transferred over to his actual human body persona.
Yeah,
he's just full blown.
He's just a human 4chan shit post, basically. Yeah. And he really let his freak flag fly in that interview. And by freak flag, I mean swastikas. because, man, a lot of the interview made waves like around this like incessant need to defend the like verified Nazi shooter from Allen, Texas. You know, the guy with like all the Nazi tattoos and the talk of loving Nazis and how he'd rather be a Nazi than act black when he posted that meme. Like, he let everybody know very clearly, you know, where he stood on things, what his perspective was. Anyway, Elon, he goes off about how despite all of the evidence and even the shooter's own words, it's not right to call this like a white supremacist act. So let me just play this. He's going to start off by talking about why he's like dubious, and you can just watch his like brain start melting.
And the evidence for that was some obscure Russian website that no one's ever heard of that had no followers. And the company that found this is Bellingcat.
Right.
And do you know what Bellingcat does? PsyOps.
Right. I couldn't really even follow exactly what it was you were trying to express there, so that's in part why I was curious.
I'm saying that I thought this, the ascribing it to white supremacy was bullshit.
Okay.
And that the information for that came from an obscure Russian website and was somehow magically found by Bellingcat, which is a company that does PsyOps.
Okay, so enough about that, because Bellingcat does not do PsyOps.
Who is the reporter going, right?
Yeah, why is he just
That's a reflexively
going...
bad thing to say.
Yeah, I know. And even though he did kind of follow up, he's like, look, I only say that because I don't know what you're saying. He did basically like, I don't know what you're trying to say right now.
Change your reflex. Do the Barbaro like, huh?
Huh? Mm. Right.
Change the reflex, dude. Change it.
It's better to just be like, eh? Honestly. It'll force the person to really have to explain. Huh?
Or say nothing. Say
right.
Nothing.
Not that. But yeah, again, so he's saying Bellingcat, which does, you know, real investigative journalism. They're saying they do PsyOps and it's bullshit. It's bullshit that they're trying to say that this is a white supremacist act.
What is his horse in this race, aside from being a white supremacist himself? What is his horse in this particular?
I think probably to not give too much momentum to the, not even narrative, to the reality of increasing like extremist violence and the like that these people exist and they're acting out their ideologies in real physical space violently. Because I think, I don't know if he's trying to thread this needle. He's like saying, like, I don't know if he's like, it was a white supremacist reason why he shot those people. It might just be that he was like a white supremacist and shot people. It's like really not clear, but he's definitely trying to like cape for like white supremacy in this very bizarre way. That's not even really clear to even the interviewer who's like, okay.
Right.
You know, your interviewer's like, right.
Right. Right. Because, you know, Hitler was correct about what he said. Right. And everything that he
did. Oh, my God. That's going to be the clip you're going to share on social media, isn't it? Don't do that. Yeah.
No way. Absolutely not. So, again, it's just like a very frustrating interview because he is truly just like lost in the sauce. His face, when he was like trying to even explain like the logic path of like this Russian account and Bellingcat, it's like he was trying to like do like, thread unroll. Like, please, dude, please unroll this Twitter thread in my brain so I can go find like the precise clapback reply that I need in here. And it's a shame that this didn't get like a ton of coverage. I mean, it got some coverage, but like talking about the man that owns fucking Twitter is out here showing you how vile his fucking beliefs are. Like, right. I don't know why I'm mad. I'm like, he's not even doing it elegantly. Like, it's just like, it's just like the raw stupidity of it. It just like makes it even more and more frustrating to see. And again, have somebody be like, right. PSYOPs. Yes.
Yeah. Mm. How did they not have support for the claim that like they knew he was going to try to debunk rather than just being, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't even know what you're saying. So, right. Well, now.
Can I just unroll this a little bit? Because I just don't understand. So was he even being asked about this because this spread on Twitter? Like, why is this even something he's talking about?
He's been like, because he himself has been retweeting other accounts that are casting aspersions over it.
Got it. So he's now like pot committed to this like situation where he has to defend.
He's
his
like,
thought.
Why are you? Yeah, he's like, why are you using your platform to like? Who are these even people? And then he's like, He's like, well, where did their evidence come from that they were white supremacists?
The guy has a PSYOP company. Swastika tattoos on his arm.
Yeah, literally.
I don't know. He may have had, his tattoo artist may have had glaucoma and was trying to make a plus sign. I don't know.
We just don't know. But like the fact that that
what about
wasn't
the SS
the
bolts? He had fucking SS bolts. His other tattoo are SS bolts.
Yes.
No, those are Celtic runes, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, he's a journeyman electrician, and he's on his way to joining the IBEW, so it's a high voltage logo. Like, what? Shut the fuck up. So, again, and I think the reason why this guy was caught off on CNBC is because they were on Stonks TV. You know what I mean? Right. They weren't on MSNBC. He wasn't talking like Ben Collins or something, or like someone who's like knows, like is very well versed in all this. You know,
Ben Collins is a great example of why I think it is overrated to leave Twitter in indignation. Like, he's a great example of why.
Did he leave?
No, he's there. If he left, like no one would ever see his shit.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
He's fucking great.
But he's
great
always
sister.
There to just dunk on people. And like,
exactly.
And, yeah. Always like help people who are not like terminally online, like some of us, understand like what is actually being spoken about. So anyway. Again, this interview was basically on CNBC. So then he eventually gets to the money part, which is another really interesting moment in this interview. He said the big question is like for people who love stonks like Tesla and stuff. He's like, what the fuck's going on with like Tesla shares and like the way you're running Twitter? Because the businesses are interconnected, whether you like it or not. And he's like, and if you keep turning Twitter into like an ad repelling website equivalent of like Kristallnacht, like, what are you going to, how are you going to keep people's money moving? Like, what do you say to these people who are actually worried about the shit that you post and its effect on the financials of everything? This answer is fucking even, I'm just going to play the whole thing because this is a very, like, this man's brain, I don't even know. I'm just
serve me
play
that
this.
Word salad. Serve it.
Yeah.
God, no. I don't want to at all. But I'm trying, even came up though in the annual meeting. I mean, you know, do your tweets hurt the company? Are there Tesla owners who say, I don't agree with his political position because, and I know it because he shares so much of it? Or are there advertisers on Twitter that Linda Yaccarino will come and say, you got to stop, man? Or, you know, I can't get these ads because of some of the things you tweet.
Pause.
Pause.
Pause. He's just looking off into the middle distance.
Booting.
Oh, did you find the right meme?
You know, I'm reminded of...
Bone Valley.
The scene in The Princess Bride. Great movie.
Great movie. Great movie.
Where he confronts the person who killed his father.
Okay.
He says... offer me money.
No.
Offer me power.
Literally, that's not what he says.
I don't care.
So you just don't care.
Offer me money.
You want to share what you have to say?
I'll say what I want to say, and if the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
Has he ever seen that fucking movie? That's literally not. He says, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." I mean, like, literally everybody knows that.
Offer
right?
me money. Offer. It's like, but I don't understand. He's basically replying in like gift form.
Gift form, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, what do you say about that? Princess Bride dot gif is what
it took him
back.
A while to find it. He was
my
searching.
God.
He got the wrong one.
He racked his brain for the dumbest response. I mean, truly.
Does he have like a early kind of trial version of Neuralink going, like hooked up to Twitter, and like that's just how badly it works? And yeah, he was like, just going
it
through his
13
brain.
13 seconds to respond. That was a 13 second fucking pause he took to say, "I'm reminded of a scene from Princess Bride." What?
Offer me money. Offer me power. I mean, that couldn't have been the answer that.
He's
investors were looking for.
How fucking awesome would have been if he's. I'm reminded of a scene from Princess Bride, wherein rodents of unusual size.
I think it's also just too, these people, especially billionaires, right? They're never in environments where people press them or ask follow up questions. So when they are, it's like a disorienting experience for them. The beginning of the first clip where I talked to, where he's talking about Bellingcat running PSYOPs, when he's like, when the journalist asking very basic questions of his like Twitter retweets, he's also like almost, I'll just play this other section because it truly shows like he is not used to being held to account for fucking anything.
I can't get enough of this. Keep going.
They're a PSYOPs?
All in Allen, Texas. You say something like it might be a bad PSYOP. I'm not quite sure what you meant, but...
Oh, in that particular case, there was the people were killed, but the it was, I think, incorrectly ascribed.
Like,
I was super killed.
His body language, like, you know, I'm no body language expert, although I do testify at trials as an expert a lot of the time.
Very like, scientifically proven to be legit.
Yes.
But it's just interesting how he's starting like this, and then he just really does get small, and he's like, oh, right, this thing,
He like tilts his head to the side like a dog that, like, you just spoke a full sentence to, and the dog right. doesn't like understand what you're saying, and then another pause, and then
so when you were first talking about this, so I was coming on the show, I didn't know what we were gonna be talking about, and I just quickly googled Elon Musk CNBC. All of the top headlines I see are Elon Musk tells CNBC he's now up to 6 hours of sleep a night. That was the takeaway from this what.
Because the mainstream media worships billionaires. And
they and their waxy-ass foreheads.
They just want them to be Tony Stark, real Tony Stark. They are there to, you know, play a role. And a role that the mainstream media isn't interested in is, like, massive billionaire thought leader who is also a Nazi. Like, they erased that part of Henry Ford's story for many years.
Right.
You know?
And also, like, that's not a good ad for his mental elasticity for someone who's supposedly such a brilliant. I'm like, this guy took 13 seconds to say, this reminds me of The Princess Bride. I don't know.
And then didn't get the right line that everybody knows.
Offer me the thing. I don't care. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'll tweet what I want, Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there was this character a Negro Toyota, I believe. And what he said, what, Elon? Anyway, so Emerald Boy is back at it. But yeah, well, shout out to everybody who was focused on the 6 hours of sleep part.
Oh my God. He needs more, apparently, because there's a lot of
cobwebs.
Gears spinning without anything coming out. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. Barbie, Chris, you hear that?
Holy shit, I've been waiting for this movie.
Finally.
Robbie looks just like Barbie, so it's going to be great.
That's exactly like Barbie. I just want to bring this up because I myself was always like, is the Barbie Girl song going to ever, by Aqua, ever going to be in like the Barbie movie? It just feels, as a millennial, I'm like, it has to be. There's only one Barbie song. The new trailer just came out.
I've heard you do.
Huh?
The screaming about that topic.
Oh, I know.
You won't stop talking about it.
Jack,
so
I remember
one note.
We had to shelf a whole episode when you were on, I remember, because it's all I was talking about. Like, we started over because
Jack
was like, please stop talking about fucking Barbie. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so upset.
I get it.
But this new fucking trailer actually uses the track from Aqua in the last couple seconds. But it kind of feels like this Sonic the Hedgehog moment where, like, all of the internet was like, where the fuck is Barbie Girl by Aqua in your marketing? This is bullshit. And then suddenly, you know, the studio is just kind of like, all right, fine. Let's fucking add it in case the fans just completely like lose it on us. Like to the point where like one fan just like re-edited the previous trailer to include the song. And it was actually like way better. It all worked together. But it was previously reported that the movie would, in no uncertain terms, they would not be using the song. And Leni Nystrom of the band speculated that it might have been because it was too on the nose for the film. Although I feel like everything about this film has been pretty on the nose.
Yeah, take the layup.
But the whole other thing is that apparently,
I wonder where they tracked down Leni Nystrom.
No, for comment. yeah. I mean,
who's living on the side of a volcano?
Probably right next to Leanie Bloomingdale's.
We caught up with Leanie. We caught up with her in Sumatra on the side of her, in her treehouse on the side of a volcano.
But the other reason might be because back in the 90s, Mattel, the makers of Barbie, they sued Aqua over the song, but they lost the case. Hell so yeah. In 1997, nice. Mattel took Aqua's record label, yeah. MCA at the time, okay. Shout out when MCA was a thing, to court, alleging that the song made, quote, unauthorized use of the toy manufacturer's Barbie doll trademarks and likeness, and argued that the brand was tarnished by lyrics that, quote, associate sexual and other unsavory themes with Mattel's Barbie products. Because, you know, there was stuff like kiss me here, touch me there, hanky panky, you can touch, you can play, I'm always yours, make me walk, make me talk, do whatever you please, I can act like a star, I can beg on my knees, you know, all that. The band was saying that, like, it was actually about plastic surgeries, and some parts were intended as sexual, but after the lawsuit, their lawyers, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, don't talk about that, don't say anything about the sexual shit, because that's what they're suing you about. What the fuck was that? Oh, shit, my own fucking Siri just went off. Anyway, so then MCA...
Hey, Siri, where can I find a doll with conservative fine family values?
And then so there was a countersuit filed by MCA Records, and they said, because they said that they called their, quote, alleged trademark violation a crime, and they're like, that's bullshit. Things got so fucking heated with these two lawsuits that the judge literally had to say, this is a quote from the court documents, quote, the parties are advised to chill. The judge said, chill the fuck out to both fucking parties. So I just love that that's where the judge is.
You got to chill out.
The parties are advised to chill.
What year was this?
1997.
Yeah, before 9/11, people were in a better mood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You ain't hearing that in post 9/11.
You know what I mean? There are people talking about chill, like the future looks bright.
Dude, chill, man. You're advised to chill, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have not heard that word once since 2001. It's been completely absent from the lexicon.
Well, yeah, I guess it stuck around.
September 10th, 2001, the last day of chill.
Well, no, like, you know, like back then it was like, this is as bad as it's going to get. The future looks just like it's nothing but Barbie lawsuits.
Yeah. Yeah, it was at the time. I remember I was in law school studying Barbie law. Everything felt like it was going in the right direction. Then 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. But both suits were eventually thrown out, and Mattel was like, you know, Mattel said they were disappointed, and MCA was like, it's a victory for free speech. The band was just like, this is great publicity. But yeah. It's just funny that like why they wouldn't include the song, because when they're saying like, oh, we don't like the sexual undertones, like, because if you've seen the trailer for the film, like, there's a whole scene where Ken keeps talking about beaching guys off, and he's like, anyone wants to beach him off has to beach me off first. And you're like, I mean, look, you're embracing the camp. Yeah. Exactly.
I keep seeing this episode. It's so annoying. You can cut it all out. I keep going, I never do that usually.
Have you been doing that?
I haven't even noticed.
Oh, good, good. But I've been doing it a bunch. Yeah. I don't know why. Greta Gerwig.
Uh-huh.
What is this going to be? What? Has anyone ever seen Greta Gerwig's other movies? What's going to happen? Like, I mean, Barbie's going to go indie rock.
Barbie actually has an existential crisis.
There's going to be a Shin song playing during that. It's going to be an upside, cut my thumb song. New slang. They're going to play that, and Barbie's going to find out she shouldn't live in her dream house and she should be like a volunteer or something. That's going to be some bullshit, man.
Greta Gerwig,
this is bullshit. And also, I'm tired of people being cast in movies that look like the people. Why don't we do some casting that's interesting?
So you should have been Ken.
Just anybody. I don't know.
I like the idea of you being Ken.
Samuel Jackson. Samuel Jackson as Barbie. Sign me up. I mean, for real. Let's do something interesting. Like, get somebody who looks like Barbie.
Wait,
like,
Chris, this is your campaign. Sam Jackson should be Barbie.
Everybody. Sam Jackson should be Amelia Earhart. Sam Jackson should be everybody. And everybody should do different crazy, you know, do crazy casting. It's the end of the world. Let's do some interesting shit. Like, yeah. Oh, we'll get Greta Gerwig. Oh, Greta Gerwig, thinking outside the box, decides to get Margot Robbie because she looks like Barbie. And she talks like Barbie. It's the worst idea already. I don't want to see it. And then I know what she's going to do, because if you saw, what was the name of that person? No, Nanette or something. The one who was like her other one about the lady who had a nervous breakdown and ended up being like a ballet instructor.
I'm sorry, what?
That movie that she
Licorice
did.
Pizza.
It's called,
I don't know
it's called Licorice Pizza, the Tangerine Monkey. I hate that movie. So the movie that she did last time about the woman who had a nervous breakdown, it's called like On the Edge or like Greta Gerwig Goes Crazy. What's it called? The last one she did.
The last one she did was as a writer?
About that herself. She played herself. Or was it Noah Baumbach's? Was that Noah Baumbach's movie?
I don't know, dude.
The movie that about the woman, it's called like Parakeet Williams or something. It's like, it's her. She plays a white lady who has a nervous breakdown and is saved by like, she becomes a ballet dancer or something. It doesn't matter.
I would have seen Parakeet Williams.
It's going to be like Amelie. It's going to be like Amelie. All the movies I've seen by Greta Gerwig or some variation on Amelie, which is where some like weird girls like accidentally stumbles into a twee existence. And that's what's going to happen to Barbie. She's ended up working at a record store and they're going to play that Shin song.
All right. I love that.
The Shins were also sued by Mattel, by the way.
Right. It has been pre-saved by none other than Chris Crofton. You have heard it here first, folks. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist today, man. I appreciate it.
I can't believe I had to exit on that absurd me trying to remember the name of that movie. But okay,
hey, Parakeet Williams sounds. Look, I'm notoriously behind on movies, but I love Parakeet Williams. Oh, Francis Ha is what Victor.
That's
said?
It. That's it. That's
Parakeet
it.
Williams.
It's about a.
That's
lady
from 2012.
Like,
that was so long ago. I was like, wait, what? Her last
oh no!
Movie.
I'm gonna turn my mic off.
Hey, shout out Parakeet Williams though. That's oh my god! Oh, my I just god. Love it. Please, someone prompt ChatGPT to write the script for Parakeet Williams, whatever that film is.
All right, that's gonna do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.